Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. So as we've been talking about, this idea of paid family leave, not just paid parental leave like we're seeing with the Rubio-Ivanka plan, but actually paid family leave. You know, if we're a country of family values, we should value families. And look, I go back to, you know, 25 years ago arguing that the Family Medical Leave Act should have had a paid component to it right then and there. And everyone was telling me, no, this is the first step. And I kept asking, how long does it take to get to step two? I guess we've found out. It's 25 years. And here to talk about this and how we make sure that step two is the best step, I've asked Ellen Bravo to come talk with us. She is the co-director of the Family Values at Work group, an advocacy group pushing these kind of issues for working families. Ellen, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure, Rick. Thanks so much. Great to see you.
So I look at the plans being put forth. You've got the Rubio-Ivanka plan that says, hey, let's kick working people and take their Social Security. And you've got the Trump plan that says, well, we're going to give you a couple of weeks. And, well, we don't really know how we're going to pay for it yet.
Well, actually, let's dissect these. So, you know, we're delighted that our movement has been so successful that it's very hard anymore to be a politician and not talk about paid leave. That's the strength of our movement. I think you know we're a network in 27 states, and we've now won paid leave in 6 states, and there are 4 more on the cusp of winning, maybe 5. Campaigns in lots of places. So that's really exciting. But the devil's in the details. So, you know, let's say what we need is to recognize that 75% of family leaves taken under the FMLA aren't for new children. They're for your own illness or the illness of a family member.
Right.
So whatever policy we have has to be inclusive. It has to be accessible for all kinds of care and for all kinds of families. Second of all, it has to be affordable. If the amount is too low, we're just not going to make it real for people. And third, it has to be an adequate duration of time. The proposals that you've mentioned are too little time and too little money for too few people at too high a cost from funds that are unsustainable. So let's talk about the Trump plan. It actually does have a funding source, and the funding source is state unemployment insurance programs.
Because I had heard there's some gimmicky things with the fraud money. Have we really fleshed out how he's going to pay for it? That's kind of where I threw in, because we really don't know what his plan is. He throws this stuff out without really working out the details. So do we really know where the funding?
It's up to the states. They'll have to make cuts or raise taxes on employers in order to come up with the money. And supposedly they're going to magically find it by cutting out fraud. We know that that's a joke. And also, the amount that you get for unemployment is, you know, we're talking about a third or to a half of wage. That's just not enough money.
Nope.
For those who need it the most, this will not be realistic. And also, 6 weeks, I mean, that's barely time to recover from childbirth, much less enough time to bond with a baby or a new child. New children aren't always babies. Adopted children can often be much older and really need time with bonding with a parent. But parents don't just need time for a new child. They also have kids, unfortunately, who get very ill or get in accidents. Those kids need their parents too. And even people who aren't parents have parents or partners or their own cancer or health, heart attacks or strokes or accidents or whatever else. So we have to have a plan that's realistic about why people need time to care, and this one doesn't.
No, I mean, certainly.
We know that
if we're going to be a country that talks,
telling you, okay, have a baby, and then when you get laid off, sorry, the money's gone.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
No, it is ridiculous. But you know, I've always said if we're going to be a country that claims we're a country of family values, especially a political party in this country that claims to be a believer in family values, the fact that we're one of the only industrialized nation in the entire world that doesn't have a paid component. Just for the mothers, let alone the fathers, we have no paid component to make sure that mothers can be home with their children for the first, you know, I would say 6 months minimum, but, you know, 6 weeks is pathetic.
Exactly. And we want to make sure it is gender neutral, because the good news is there are a lot of men who are and want to be good husbands and fathers and sons, but they get punished for it at work. We've got to change that.
No, I was one of them. Look, when our three kids were born, I made sure that I took 7-8 weeks, what we could afford, because it's unpaid right now, what we could afford to let me stay home and be with the kids and bond, because that's such an important time. And I tell new fathers, you never get those days back. Cherish every minute of it, because they never come back. It doesn't get any easier than those first days.
That's right. And it's such a critical time in a child's life, and makes such a difference to have that bonding with your parents. I want to encourage your listeners to go to zeroweeks.com. It's the website of a terrific documentary that's coming out about the official policy of the United States of America, which is 0 weeks of paid leave. And there are a few excerpts. There's a great trailer, just 2 minutes, but there's also a little animated excerpt about a map of the world and what other countries have. It's just an eye opener. It's really shocking to see how much of an outlier we are in the whole world.
Now, some would argue, Ellen, that, you know, that we're number one. We're the only one. Look how wonderful we are. We don't need such a thing. We're better than those people. Our workers are crazy.
Yeah, they should just go talk to anybody. Because the public overwhelmingly not only needs but supports paid family and medical leave. And that's across political boundaries. What's changed because of our movement is that people realize we can solve this. And we know what it looks like. We know how to do it.
Right.
And we know that it makes a real difference. And that is, you create a social insurance fund and you pool small contributions, either employees or employee and employer combinations. And then people can draw wages while they're out. And each of these wins has improved the model. So we now understand how to make it progressive wage replacement, so that the lowest wage workers get 90% of their pay. We know how to make it an adequate duration. In New York, now it's at least 12 weeks of leave. We know that it needs job protection for all leave takers. And those are models, those are provisions that are now going to be incorporated into the National Family Act.
Yeah, most certainly. Yep. You know, I've been arguing for a long time, we need to be expanding, you know, our social safety net. Unemployment insurance should be much more generous to help with the blow. Because as you pointed out a minute ago, unemployment only replaces between 30% and half of your lost income, which I don't know anyone who can say, oh, I can lose half my income for 6 months. If we're truly going to be the country of family values, we should be pushing this. Yet what we have in this country is a political party who, for the last, you know, since the Great Recession, has done everything they could possibly do to limit and freeze the benefit of unemployment insurance. I know where I live in Pennsylvania, the Republicans, you know, they froze it for a decade, which again is just going to be eroded away because of inflation, and did it under the guise of we're saving it. And, you know, it's one of those things that's just nuts to me.
Who are out of work are even collecting unemployment. And if the states get to decide who gets benefits, you can bet that there'll be a lot of families who won't count. Same-sex couples, unmarried couples, people that the state decides aren't worthy will be left out. So that's not an avenue we can go down. Same with the Social Security proposal, really asking people to borrow against their future. Again, an amount that would be based on SSDI, which is way too low, less than half of your wage, completely impractical, and would also increase gender disparities, because women more than men would be the ones likely to take it, and women more than men are likely to rely only on Social Security when they retire, and the amount is already less because of penalties for caregiving and for being a woman. So that one's out too. This is the good news. We can make sure that people can take care of themselves and their families, can do what we tell them is the most important thing, which is be there for each other, honor thy father and thy mother, be a responsible parent, and can do that without risking their financial security. We can do that, and we can have a secure retirement, and we can have unemployment. It's not that we don't have the means to do it. It's all about political will.
Now, are you sure about that? Are you sure we don't have to pick and choose? I mean, because every other problem that's thrown at us, it's always a Hunger Games scenario. You can have good jobs or a horrible environment. You can have health care or with really high deductibles or nothing for you. It seems like this Hunger Games mentality has permeated every issue that we have, to where we end up talking ourselves down to where we really don't get what we need.
Right. There are certain people in power in certain places who will tell us that, but that's not the only model. We know what we need to do, and we have people who are willing to do it. We need to lift our voices and exercise our power and keep building the movement that says, if you want a job, political people, this is what we need, and this is the path we want you to go down.
Yeah, good stuff. You know, I think back to, because I've been very fortunate and I'm grateful for, the Clinton era Family Medical Leave Act. Again, I wish there was a paid component to it, because I did spend a lot of money, because when we had our three children, I was able to use it then. When my grandmother was dying, I was able to spend considerable time going back and forth. When my in-laws were ill and on their final days, we were able to spend a lot of time with them as family. And it was never a problem. I mean, you went to the employer, you filled out the paperwork, and the time was there. There, at no point did I fear I was going to lose my job. Now, the other side of this, I had a union job, and the union would have fought for me, which I want everybody to have access to. But here again, these programs, most people aren't as fortunate as I have been over the years to be able to, one, be able to afford them, and two, have an employer that I had access to. So when this moves forward, I want to make sure that everyone has a right to this, not just people who work for employers with 50 or more people, not just people who can afford it, but everybody, especially the low income folks who don't have access to a lot of other programs.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that our movement is doing, and this movie Zero Weeks does, is make real who are we talking about? What's the cost of doing nothing? And what are the intended consequences of winning what we are working to get? This week there were hearings in a number of states, and there was a woman in Massachusetts who testified her husband died of lung cancer. She would have to kiss him goodbye every morning and go to work because they wouldn't let her take off, and she couldn't afford to lose that job. And she keeps asking herself, not just what comfort could I have given him, but maybe I could have found more resources to help ease his passing and also lengthen his life. There was a woman who did sit by her mother's side, but is digging her way out of debt for years as a result. There are kids in hospitals alone. This is the United States of America, the wealthiest country in the world. It's shameful that this is true. And on the other hand, we know how to fix it, and we are on our way to do that.
Yeah, so how do we do that, Alan? What's the path forward on this? Because like I said, my fear is the Republicans have taken this, and it appears they're going to move something. My view on it, and you can agree or disagree, my view on it is they're going to move the most limited bill possible, the most limited benefit possible, at the highest cost for the least among us. You look at the American Enterprise Institute program that Rubio and Ivanka were pushing. That's really going to harm people when they get to Social Security age. You look at this one that the president's moving forward. I got a lot of questions about it. How do we make sure we get, like the Gildebrand bill? How do we get something like that pushed through?
Right. So I'm so glad you brought this up, because the people who are pushing the Rubio Ivanka proposal about Social Security is the Independent Women's Forum, who have written that what they really want is to privatize Social Security. Let's be really clear that that's what's behind that proposal.
A Koch
And
brother
here's
group,
how we
may I
stop it.
add.
Here's how we stop it. First of all, we have to make sure that all of our friends, all of the people who should be on our side, understand that this is a this which side are you on moment. If you want to stand with working families, then you have to have a proposal that has some substance to it. As you pointed out, 25 years is how long ago it was that we passed the FMLA. We won't get another bite at this apple for a long time. So we have to make sure it has some nutrition in it. And we have to make sure that we're going in the right direction, not the wrong direction. So we're going to hold our friends and allies to the fire. We're going to make it toxic for people. We're going to make it clear that this is not what working families need, and that this isn't just a step. It's a, like I said, a step in the wrong direction. And then we're going to keep winning the policies that are the right one, form of social insurance until we get a critical mass of states. And we're going to make this an election issue in 18 and 20. Rubio said, well, you'll never get the Family Act, that's the Gillibrand bill, passed by this Congress. That may be true, but it will be passed by a Congress. This Congress won't always be in power, and our folks are going to help change who makes those decisions.
Boy, from your lips. And look, I love the fact that they're not going to be in power forever. And you got to fight these fights. You've got to fight for, you know, the best possible outcome. And this is the thing that gets me about, you know, some of the Democratic positions over the years. You know, we fight for what we want, not push the bar and then settle for what we want. We need right. to learn that negotiating a little bit better.
Well, one of the things, you know, like Rubio has said, well, it may not be perfect, but you can't wait for perfect. And that's what the Independent Women's Forum says, too. Believe me, the plans that we're fighting for are far from the gold standard. Right. They're a minimum. They're a floor. But at least they're a floor you can stand on, not one that you'll fall through into the basement.
Right. And I look at some other countries who just have, you know, far better plans, far better positions on, you know, on bringing children into the world, on taking care of their elderly and of their parents. If they can do it, as you pointed out, we're the richest country in the world. I would say at the richest point in history, if they can do it, why can't we? That's simple.
And one of the things we need to do in doing this is stand arm in arm and understand that the same people who are tearing families apart in immigration, the same people that are trying to cut food stamps and Medicare and school funding and privatize, the same people that are crushing unions and trying to take away their ability to get fair contributions so that they can do their job and represent them, these are also the people that are trying to block reasonable family medical leave. And so we all have to stand together, the unions and the dreamers and the people that are fighting for fairness for children and for seniors and for people with chronic diseases, people who want to end poverty. We all have to stand together and realize this is of a piece.
We got a lot of work to do. Ellen, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the work that you guys do. And as this continues, I'd love to have you come back and tell us how things are going. And maybe we have a victory celebration down the road.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Ellen Bravo. If you want to check out their website, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. You can find out more about what they do. Just good stuff. The people who over at Family Values at Work. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Share your thoughts. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Been waiting on hope about 15 years. Been going mad. Been flashing my eyes. Don't you know, babe? Been sleeping all day and working all night. Made a lot of money, but it don't feel right. Don't you know, babe? Well, I've seen the world and it's seen me. In a strange kind of way. If you sound free, don't you know, babe?